If you're listening to all the negative out there, as particularly in our world today, you are burdened with things that may not be helping you make right choices. I want us all to feel right now what you see on that slide. Someone you know is waiting for encouragement. Someone you know is waiting for your encouragement and our encouragement. And this morning, I want to take us through what that looks like and how we can be better encouragers. I consider this to be an all-in sequel for applying encouragement to those things that we all signed up for in answer to the call for action last week. This morning, I'm going to offer this lesson in four parts, and I'm going to first go through some scriptural reasoning that we're going to learn together and refresh our minds on why encouragement is not an option and why encouragement is so important. Secondly, I'm going to take a look with you at how we can better encourage each other and those seekers that are put in our path. I'm going to then take that encouragement and apply it and report back to you what you did a couple of weeks ago on May the 21st in response to the call to action that the leadership team issued not only to you, but to ourselves. And on the fourth part, I'm going to close with an invitation. I want you to know that we are intentional, and thanks to you, we are working harder and closer together than ever before for the Lord in this place. I pray that my words this morning fall on listening ears, knowing that I'm trying to listen for the Holy Spirit. And in preparing these lessons, I hope that I have listened well and I have shared what's on my heart, because together I want us to honor God in all things that we do. Bob Ray, thank you for reading the scripture this morning. One of the pieces that we did not read was the sequel to that scripture that's in the Message. And yeah, you guys know that I love to read the Message alongside of the New International Version. And the bottom line of today's lesson is for you to know that encouragement is very, very important. And the Bible is speaking to us on why we need to be doing it. I've asked God to bless us in my message this morning as I try to spur you on and reinforce you on why encouraging is needed every day, followed by that love of the Lord in doing God's will and doing good deeds. I feel that we must all draw nearer and closer with a sincere heart for encouraging. And nowhere in any of these scriptures that we're going to talk about this morning does the word complaining come up. It's okay to express your feelings. It's okay to have a down day. Sometimes I get chastised because it's like, how can you talk about cheer? This is not a cheerful world we live in. And my response is, we got to talk about it. Because if we don't encourage each other, then what are we doing? We are letting the world take over our hearts. And church, now is not the time that the world needs to be taking over our hearts. God's bringing people to this church. People are seeking. They want to know about the Lord. And if we're all downtrodden and we're having a bad day every day, we're not answering the call for those people and meeting their needs, are we? You know, we got people who need prayer. We have people that need to be listened to. We have folks that, as noted in Hebrews 10:24, need response to all. And that Hebrews letter encourages us to do things that are helpful and that they are good and godly. Let's talk a little bit about what is the definition of encouragement. Can you see that? The chief of complaints has an office, and he's the dude that's doing all the complaining. I submit to you that that's probably not the biblical interpretation of what encouragement is. But I do want you to know that that's what encouragement is, right here. Encouragement is words or actions that make someone more determined, hopeful, and confident. You can put your sermon notes together because they are very extensive, and this is a takeaway package this morning that I hope that you will all enjoy. Start out with a full understanding that encouragements should be hopeful, they should be confident, and they are assured when you issue an encouragement that someone will become more determined because you are the encourager. As a young deacon in a church years ago, I had an old brother that came alongside me once a week, and he would say, "I just want you to know I'm praying once a month for you to feel the call of someday you'll be an elder." And I laughed at that guy for at least 3 years. But yet, looking back on it, I know that I probably felt the call and answered the call because of that encouragement that that elder put on my heart. I praise God for that for the day. We're going to talk about why encouragement is important to us. And throughout my pitch, I'm referring to that notation on the bottom that says, encouragement is not an option. And I want you to walk away today with an understanding of what encouragement is, why it's important, and how we can be better encouragers, because encouragement is not an option. In Hebrews 3:13, it says that encouragement helps us prevent us from spiritual weakness. Think about going through your life and not being ever hearing a word of positivity. There are some folks that you know that have not had positivity in their lives. Amen? I'm nervous in case you see why I'm drinking all this water. We need to be encouragers, as mentioned in Hebrews 3:13, because it helps us prevent to become spiritually weak. 10:24 and 25, encouragement produces attitudes and actions that honor God. In fact, they help stir us up to good works. I'm going to come back and circle the wagons around Hebrews 10:25 and tell you about forsaking the assembly I've got a belief that I was taught years ago, and I'm going to share that interpretation of 10:25. Encouragement helps prevent wrong choices. If you are following someone that is a Christ follower, it is highly probable that you are hearing encouragements that help you make right choices. If you're listening to all the negative out there, as particularly in our world today, you are burdened with things that may not be helping you make right choices. Encouragement promotes us to make the right choices that are essential for spiritual maturity. Folks, life ain't about making choices. It's all about making choices. Always do your best to make the right one, and always do your best to learn from the wrong ones. We're not going to be sinless. We're not going to be avoiding making some wrong choices sometimes. But when we do make wrong choices, learn from them and move forward to do a better job the next time doing the right choice. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that Bob read, we talk about building up one another. In Proverbs 12 and 25, anxiety, which is this word worry, in a man's heart weighs him down, but his good word brings him to gladness. Gracious words are like honeycomb. This is from Proverbs 16:24. Sweetness to the soul, health to the body. In Proverbs 25, we read that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. Remember, encouragement should build up a person, should build you up from giving encouragement. And I'm going to give you a heads up. Before we get out of here today, you are going to be given an opportunity to give someone some encouragement. Build up someone today by starting and giving more encouragements, as encouraged there from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encouragement should help us prepare to know and to obey and enjoy more of God. It's a matter of a fact of life that we need encouragement. We have many teachers in this audience. The teachers will agree that if you encourage a youngster more than you discourage the youngster, what's going to happen? They are going to have a better shot at the real world, right? If you grow up in a world of negativity, you're having a harder time in meeting the reality that we face out here every day. So we've talked about why encouragement is important. We've showed you some Bible references as to why it's important. So the next question becomes, okay, that's easy to read the Bible. Yeah, for me it's kind of hard sometimes. But the bottom line is, I want to introduce you to things you already know, but I want to give you some background on how we can encourage one another. And it's not rocket science. These are the four that we're going to explore this morning. Good examples, positive words and tone of voice, presence in worship, Bible class and fellowship, and Jesus' example. That presence in worship and Bible class and fellowship is specifically the part about Hebrews 10 and 25. Okay? But as we look for opportunities to encourage this week, Just know that you are going to be a greater inspiration and support to those people that you encourage. We will see our own relationships in life being strengthened and enriched because we have agreed as part of our all-in, and we got all these things that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We overlay all of that with encouragement, and we will be strengthened to serve the Lord better in this place. So, let's be an encourager of one another by doing what? Using a good example. And from Acts, there's three chapters, 4 and 9 and 15. One of the best known characters, the son of encouragement, is who? Barnabas. And Barnabas encouraged through benevolence. What did he do? He sold a field and he gave that money away. We also know that Barnabas encouraged by filling roles in the church. He was a teacher, he was a gift bearer, he was a missionary, he was a delegate. And Barnabas encouraged the church by filling whatever role that came up. And by now you're probably all thinking, you know, that sounds like Glenn Presser. Fill the role that needed PD done. Yes, and when I was looking at these things, I thought, Glenn, help me, buddy. Help me today share the word of encouragement. Barnabas always saw the best in others, despite their many shortfalls. And in your lesson in Acts 4, 9, and 15, if you have some time this week, it would really be an encouragement validator for you to go in and read those chapters. In some cases, Barnabas' encouragement was manifest by what? By his benevolent acts of selling his field and giving the proceeds to the apostles for doing what? For caring for the needy. In other instances, Barnabas' encouragement was manifested through his willingness to assume responsibilities. Through the scriptures, we learned that he taught the word, he brought gifts, he went on missionary trips, and he was a delegate for others. He was a very active Christian. You know, Barnabas' greatest contribution, however, might have been his ability to see what? The not so good things. Hello, remember that guy Paul? Everybody was rejecting Paul because he was killer of Christians. Somewhere, somehow, though, Barnabas brought him to the disciples and stood in the gap for Paul. And look what happened to Paul over the years. Because one person stood in the gap for him. Have you stood in the gap lately for someone? That's an act of encouragement that we need to be aware and try to do. Barnabas stood in the gap, and the results that Paul was able to achieve are phenomenal. He saw that he could even have disagreements. Remember the guy, John Mark? Had a little argument with what? About whether John Mark was going to go on the second missionary trip. Yet again, what did Barnabas do? He stood in the gap and he said, we need to take John Mark. And it wasn't all rosebuds and cherries. It was, they took separate routes, right? They disagreed, but yet they never lost their love for the common bond of Jesus Christ. Folks, with good examples like a Barnabas, we can be a great encourager. Think about right now those people in your walk that have been good encouragers to you. Part of the homework I'd like for you to do is to remember who one or two of those people were that encouraged you and tell them, thank you for encouraging me. That's a practice that becomes a habit. All right, we need more people who will build up others and contribute their enthusiasm and just fight negativity this week and moving forward. Try to bring a positivity. Second way that we can be an encourager is with our words. Over in Acts, it says, the men were sent off and went down to Antioch when they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. People read it, and they were glad for the encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. And again, over in Thessalonians 5 and 12 and 16, we see examples of how people acknowledge to those who were listening and who cared for them. They lived in peace with each other. They encouraged the disheartened, helped the weak, and were patient with everyone. They strove to do what was good for each other and for everyone else. They gave thanks. And then in your bulletin, there's a couple of references there in Proverbs that I want you to read this week. Our encouraging words have got to be spent with people that are going through trials as well as those who are seeing rosebuds. We need to stand up and know that people need our encouragement, please. Our encouraging words need to be life-giving. If we speak words of life and faith and encouragement to others, we will live in an atmosphere of faith and love in our homes and our workplaces. We must ensure that our self-talk is positive and in line with God's promises. Here's a word from my wife, Cindy, and my daughter, Wendy. Dad, you need to watch your tone of voice. You are talking too loud. I want you to understand you don't have to yell at me. I can hear you without you yelling. And why are you always carrying such a negative tone around this house? Get a life, Dad. Quit being so negative. I never knew I was having a bad tone or a loud yell. Do you? How's your tone been lately? It's not only the words, it's the way you say the words that get you. Amen? And I'm telling you, thank you, darling wife and lovely daughter. I'll try to do better. Here's a couple of really good Chinese proverbs. If you're patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. Amen? And here's one. Never say words out of anger. Your anger. You see, walk around the house. My first sergeant and my sergeant major would tell you, years in the military, I destroyed a lot of trash cans because rather than yell and scream, I would kick a trash can. And the sergeant major came in one day and he says, you know, Colonel, you got to shut up your foot. It's too loud. You're destroying the budget. Quit kicking these trash cans. So, yeah, I admit, I had a pretty good temper. We can encourage others with our presence. This is a tough one, folks. Hold on. The Hebrews letter 10 through 24 and 25 has two parts. It says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Let's be encouragers. Let's motivate each other. Let's meet together and help each other grow closer to God. Let's help others grow their relationship and God with God toward love and good works. Let's avoid being consumers and go back to being doers. What that 24 talks about is not criticizing or lambasting people who don't make it to the fellowship. Wednesday nights in my Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri days, I didn't go to Bible study on Wednesday night. Why didn't you go? I didn't want to go. I didn't love the Lord enough to go. I didn't know what I was missing by not going. On Thursday morning before 10:30, a group of members from the church would come in and they'd want to see me in the office for the purpose of letting me know that my name was on the list, that I had missed service. Not one time do I remember they ever said, we're here because we love you. We're here because you're missing you. We are missing you in our fellowship. That sent a message to me that all they were doing was checking a box, trying to get me to come back to church rather than loving. Well, I look back on it, and that was an excuse that I brought. Okay, I'm sure those brothers and sisters were really concerned about my soul. The Hebrews 10:25 pops in there, though, because it talks about what? It talks about not neglecting to meet together, as a habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. I take this as part of verse 24. I don't see this verse as a rebuke. I don't see this verse as anything except an intention of encouraging. Is that where you are? Or are you looking at 10:25 and saying, you are going to go to the devil because you're missing and forsaking the assembly? How about let's just taking a little bit different approach to it, and back to my family, watching our tone when we say something about missing the assembly. Hey, Shaq, you're a sinner for not going to church. You need to get yourself back over there, boy. You know, we need you together. Let's see how we can be inventive and how we can be encouraging and loving, helping each other. Let's not avoid coming together. We need you. That's the way we ought to talk. That's the way we ought to speak from our hearts with our action. Amen? You know, we're still in a spiritual war. Satan is trying every day to get people to have the attitudes of negativity. We got to do better on that, okay? Let's not be judgmental. Jesus made it clear that what's in our hearts will ultimately come out of our mouths. We have to do better. And all I'm asking you to do is to please encourage others to come into the fellowship with believers. We're all in this warfare, and if we continually guard our hearts from becoming hardened through the tone, through the lack of positivity, we will be better to bring folks to hear the Word of God. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. As Christians, it's important that we continually guard our heart so that we remain soft and loving towards others, and that we do not allow life's bitter experiences to make us a cynic in life. Okay? we also need to never forget the examples of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' life, he had experiences that us today would probably say, oh, we don't care about those folks. Remember the lady, the Samaritan woman? Remember the woman caught in adultery and the sinful woman who was weeping over Jesus' feet? Never did he say the negative words of what? You're nothing. I don't know why you're even out here. He never was a discourager. And that's what we need to do, is to remember a word of encouragement during a failure is more potent than a word of praise after achievement. Church, never let an earthly circumstance disable you spiritually. Amen? We have to be better than letting Satan win. That's my lesson on why encouragement is important and how you can be a better encourager. Praise God, and thank you, thank you, thank you, church, for the responses to the call of action. Look at this. Over 58% of the congregation that filled out the sheets on May 21st all reflected what you're willing to do. And many of you have already started. And a good example of that is the thing about writing note cards to folks. There were 36 of you that signed up to do that. We had Google reviewers, just under 30. The men's Bible class, a fantastic response to 17. The note writers and letter writers, let me just take one little note here. Thank you, Renee McLaughlin, for what you've done with Heart to Heart. The responses of those folks that you see here, it's now up to 40. I had some folks turn the sheet in this morning. Those notes of cards and letters are separate and supplemental to Heart to Heart. What Renee has arranged to do, from a good sister who donated some cards to us, thank you very much. Renee has packaged them into bundles, and they're out behind the exit door today. And if you signed up on those, your bundle of cards is ready. There's also a group that stepped forward and said, hey, thank you for the opportunity to write cards to selected members over the next 2 months. I want to take it one step further. I want to focus on writing cards and encouragements to those internet members, to those shut-ins, and to the folks that are snowbirds. And yes, we do have a couple of members who are already doing that by writing note cards of encouragements to shut-ins. Thank you, Brother John. And all of the encouragements that's being done. But all of this is a call to action because you felt the call in your heart to do it. And Jack and Karen Beaverland have been writing encouragement cards for years, and now Jack is saying, hey, we want to fine-tune this and go into the snowbirds and the internet members and the shut-ins also. So if you want to help Jack do that, just send him a note and he'll make sure that he gets you included in it. That's what coming together through encouragement does. And every one of these other listed items up there is the same thing. Get involved. This morning, I hope we've been able to lay over and talk about why encouragement is so important. It's not an option, is it? Okay? On behalf of the elders and the leadership team, church, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you did not get a chance to fill out one of those things, just stop by the office or send me a text and I'll make sure you get one. We'll put some more copies out on the door as you go out there. Folks, the lesson is yours. The invitation is wide open. Non-Christians need to be baptized. You need to be immersed. Unfaithful and sinful Christians need to repent. Come back to the Lord. We are inviting you, if you are not yet a member in this church, you need to let us know so we can get you connected here in the membership in this place. We want you to join this body of believers and be encouragers and be Christ followers and have some fun serving the Lord in a world where Satan is trying to attack us every day. Whatever the reason is, and for you folks online, hit us with some comments and we'll get back in touch with you. Whatever your reason is, if you are subject to God's invitation from this church, please come as we stand and sing.